You're listening to another Mic Check podcast. I'm John Neuroer. Joining us today for an hopefully enlightening, interesting, entertaining, ridiculous discussion.
And bizarre.
A bizarre discussion is Dr. Jonathan Moreno, who is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, but also a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
I think the easiest thing to do is to have you explain to me, when you came down to my office, what exactly you wanted to talk about, and let's just start at the beginning. Now, you wrote a piece that was published in Science Progress called "Manimal Planet,"
right?
But it seems that there's even more to this interesting, bizarre story than was part of your original post that you did back on July 24th. So let's take it from the beginning,
right,
if we
so,
can.
From the beginning, John, I actually want to go back to 2005, 2006,
okay,
when Senator Brownback introduced a bill that never got out of committee to prohibit through criminal penalties and federal law the creation of what are known in medical science labs as chimeras. And these are lab animals of which there are hundreds and hundreds around the world that are very important in medical research.
So this isn't a mythical creature. This is something that's actually used
chimeras are,
often in medical research.
The problem is that chimeras, the word chimera is a very general term that applies both to, you know, winged horses in Greek mythology,
right,
and to actual creatures that are used to study very bad human diseases. And what they have in common is that they are, in modern language, modern scientific language, they're cells that are genetically distinct. So imagine, for example, that you needed to learn about Alzheimer's disease. You wanted to understand how human genes express Alzheimer's disease in the very earliest stage of genetic development. You might put those cells from somebody with Alzheimer's disease in a lab animal, maybe in a lab animal fetus, and see how those cells express themselves. Now,
so they have so medically speaking, and for medical research, they can be very, very useful,
very important. But chimeras are also a woman who has ever been pregnant, because there are cells circulating her body from her fetus for the rest of her life. A chimera could also be somebody with a porcine pig heart valve. So the word chimera is very general, but it does include these very important laboratory animals we're talking about.
And so that word chimera was used in this language in the 2005 bill that Senator Brownback introduced.
That's correct, in the title of the bill. Now, one of the peculiar consequences of this, apparently in Washington, which, as you know, is itself a place where there are a lot of chimeras,
yeah,
is that President...
But pig,
yeah,
it's pig.
Well,
human.
I'm not going to characterize these species.
Right.
I'll leave it to you guys.
Okay.
President Bush or some of his colleagues, staff, apparently picked up on this concern. And in his January 2006 State of the Union address, there's a throwaway line about advocating the prohibition of human-animal hybrids. Now, he didn't say chimera, he said hybrids. At that point, I think a lot of people in the country went, huh? and, you know, first we were worried about terrorists, now we're worried about the Minotaurs.
Yeah, I remember that, and it just seemed
odd.
So odd. It almost seemed as if there was context around it that they had to cut out to get to a certain time
exactly,
on the speech.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I wrote an op-ed at that time that said, I think what the president really was talking about was Brownback's chimeras, but they used the word hybrid. Now, hybrid is a genetic mixture. It's not just a combination of cells. A hybrid is like a mule. Mule comes from a horse and a donkey mating. They're usually sterile. That's a hybrid, and that's a difference in what biologists call the germline, the genes in themselves, that the breed. It's a new breed that they've sort of created.
Right, right.
So that's different from a chimera. You know, I think that this is a serious business, though, because now what we have is Senator Brownback, who has introduced a bill that would prohibit making hybrids. And this is at the federal level, at the same time, Governor Jindal, to carry the story now to the state level,
right,
has actually signed a bill on July 13th that would prohibit the making of, and he uses the word hybrids, or at least the people who wrote the bill used the word hybrids in the title. But if you look at the word title, at the bill itself, the language itself, it includes chimeras, the way they define hybrid. So, I mean, this all sounds pretty crazy. You would be subjected to hard labor in Louisiana if you tried to make a human animal of some kind. I mean, this would be a serious business. So what are we to make?
I saw that. Up to 10 years?
Up to 10 years of hard labor. And now, you know, in a way, this is sort of all amusing and silly. But there is an important narrative here,
right,
that I think that progressives need to be aware of. The narrative is combining the issues of abortion, of stem cell research, of the Schiavo case, into an account that makes conservatives basically the protectors of the human race.
It's an attempt to back progressives into a corner. Basically.
Exactly, because you know you say, well, okay, are you against the idea that we should outlaw making human animal? Are you in favor of human animal hybrids? Well, I'm not going to say that. You know, of course I'm not. Meanwhile, there are a lot of other important things to be talking about that this kind of silliness distracts from. And it shows, I think, though, that there's a very systematic attempt to create a narrative around conservatives as the protectors of the species.
Now, and it almost seems also like there's a catch-22, because on mm-hmm. one hand, and the beginning of our discussion, mm-hmm. you know, spoke to this, there is, especially for scientists, I'm sure, the urge to argue that there are certain things that fall under these
yeah.
broad terms like chimera or hybrid
that could be important for medical science.
And down the road, there may be other uses that would fall under those definitions that we don't know about that could also be useful. So on one hand, there's the urge to argue.
Right.
But at the same time, you start to go down that root. When you argue this, you get down in the weeds and you lose.
Exactly.
Because they backed you into that corner.
Exactly. That rhetorical corner. Oh, you mean you're for human animal monstrosities? So, you know, I think the people who should be concerned about this at this point, really, in a direct sense, are the scientists at institutions in Louisiana who may be affected in some indirect way by this, or maybe in a very direct way. And of course, now Senator Brownback has decided to leave the Senate and run for governor of Kansas. I think we can predict with confidence that Kansas would then be the second state
sure.
to outlaw human-animal hybrids to continue the narrative. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw conservative governors in other states attempt to do the same thing. I'm not saying this is a big threat to the country, but it's yet another way of kind of exciting the base and keeping things going.
So what's the progressive answer, though?
You know, strategically, the answer is caricature
right.
because the silliness is outrageous. And you take Louisiana, which is a place where the last thing they have to worry about, as you and I well know, is human-animal hybrids. I wanted to say, you know, some would say unless you include James Carville, but I'm not going to go. So,
but while we still haven't cleaned up Louisiana, you know, haven't cleaned up New Orleans from Katrina
right, it just
4
seems
years
like
ago,
a,
that
just seems like
you
a,
said earlier, it's we're just, taking time to write legislation in Louisiana. You know,
right. And I would love to, you know, get in a room with one of the senators and the state senators in Louisiana to see why they're spending time, their constituents' time, doing this kind of thing when they should be worried about getting New Orleans and, you know, the back on its feet. But
right.
apart from that, you know, what's the progressive response? So the irony here is that while conservatives like to pin eugenics on progressives, this is a case in which it's the conservatives who are sort of making the human germline into an idol of a sort. Let's keep it pure. You know, and that, I think, is the great historical irony. It's a little wonky, but I think that is really interesting, that the conservative movement has turned itself into the protector of the purity of the human race, which is something that they like to accuse the liberals of doing.
Well, and do you see that this is going to be a slippery slope, at least for state legislatures, where, you know— that maybe in November after President-elect Obama was, you know, about to take office in January, that some people thought that this was an opportunity to bring the country together. And it seems like on these kinds of cultural issues, and you see it in the birther crowd or the teabag crowd.
And the birther crowd, by the way, that there is another narrative there, too, about the other, you know, about the funny-looking immigrant that is related to this. It's not directly related, but it's kind of related to this. You know, who is this hybrid?
Yeah.
You know, this
immigrant
president hybrid.
And it seems like, would you agree, it seems like that this could be a slippery slope, that, and on these issues of bioethics specifically, these issues of life, of the sanctity of life, of that this could get worse.
Who gets to plant their flag, you know, in the territory of protector of the dignity of the human race, and the meaning of being human? You know, this has been going on for a while, and this is yet another chapter in that story. This kind of hybrid prohibition bill business, but it's also dangerous because it does have this way of sliding into the birther movement crowd, and worry about the other, and a general. The expansion of state power into control over future human beings, not just present human beings, and a very, by the way, radical, not conservative way of expanding state power. So I think it gets into very dangerous territory potentially. Not only the political positioning, which is a concern for progressives, but just in general for the country. This is when you're combining politics and biology. You know, we've seen that go wrong before.
absolutely.
I really think we have to be very careful about that.
Jonathan Moreno, who is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, also a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for
having this
very interesting, bizarre conversation, and I'm sure that there is more to come. So we will stay tuned.
Thanks.